know like I know what God has done for me. Anybody have a testimony in the house? Anybody? Can you testify that in 2009 he's still a deliverer, still a provider, still a healer, still a God that's alive and worthy of all the praise? Is there anybody that can say he's still a changer of lives? Well, praise God. We're going to continue as we study our way through the book of Daniel. But this morning we're going to take a text from Matthew chapter 18, set ourselves up, and then make a run again at Daniel chapter 10, where we were on Wednesday evening. So good to have Brother Will's family, mom and dad, and brother and sister-in-law. Yeah, so good to have them in the house this morning. We appreciate Brother Will and what God's doing in his life. He was nervous. That's one of those moments where it could have gone either way. But we appreciate what God's doing in Brother Will. Praise God. Matthew 18. And let's read the first five verses and then verse 10. And then we'll continue with what we were talking about on Wednesday evening. 18 and 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Verse 10. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." So at a baby dedication, is Sophie in the house? She's in Sunday school. I can't preach to Sophie today. I love preaching to babies at baby dedication, because I can say all kinds of things to adults that they normally wouldn't receive. But I can beat you up while talking to her. So we lose that advantage, but we'll just muster on. The kingdom of heaven is like a little child. And he says, except you be converted and become as a little child, you can't get in. Now that's tough. It's tough for big, strong men. It's tough for big men to come and bow a knee and to say, my Father who lives in the heavens, hallowed be your name. You're everything. I can't make this work without you. I can't breathe my next breath without you. It takes something, because all a man has is his name and his pride until he finds God. And it's hard to lay those things down. Verse 4, though, if you'll humble yourself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God was really impressed with Moses, and Moses becomes mighty throughout the word of God. But when he has an altercation with Korah and the princes of Israel that want to overthrow him, Moses just lays down on his face in front of them. It's like, Brother Calvin, if I came to you today and I started just getting right in the middle of your business, right up next to your manliness, then I just started dressing you down like a drill sergeant. But you're not in the army anymore. And you're thinking, I don't have to take this anymore. If that started happening, and your response was just to say, excuse me, and you just lay down on the ground, buried your face in the ground, and just begin to talk to God, that would be hard to do. But it would be the most powerful thing that anybody could ever do in a moment of altercation. Just lie down, prostrate, and say, I give it all to God. Now stay with him. He knows what he's doing. Except you become as a little child, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. So at a baby dedication today, we're going to talk about this. But principally, verse 10. For I say unto you, you be careful how you treat these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, they're angels. Everybody say they're angels. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Little children, by the word of God, have angels. The angels of God encamp round about his people. Hebrews 1 and 14, they are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. We don't spend a lot of time thinking or talking about angels. They're just automatic to the kingdom of God. But Wednesday night and tonight, or today rather, we're going to be talking about them. And I want you to know, I don't know how many you have assigned to you, but your babies have angels in the plural assigned to them. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a little child. God bless you. You can be seated. And as you are, why don't we give him thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens? Why don't we give him high praise and magnify his name for his word? Hallelujah. We magnify you, O God. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name. Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory to God. I feel Holy Ghost all over this house today. Moving of the presence of God all over this place. If you're brand new to this and you don't know what that is the presence of God, and God is a spirit. So when God comes down to embrace you, there's a feeling associated with it. God moves on you and you feel the presence of God. And as you feel that, I would suggest to you that if you would lift up your hands and just begin to tell him, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you. If you would do that, then God would embrace you. Oh, there are children receiving the Holy Ghost in Sunday school right now. It's all right. Let's join in. Let's magnify. I don't know whose kid's getting it, but the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Praise God. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We lift you, Lord. We bless your name, O God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, that's wonderful. Makes you want to go. We couldn't fit over there, but it makes you want to just kind of go and look in on it. But I'm so glad to have teachers there that are sensitive to the moving of the presence of God, because we're going to teach them the lessons week in and week out. We're going to teach them all the lessons. They're going to know everything they need to know and be equipped to live for God in a godless world. But it is so wonderful that we have teachers that when they feel the hunger and the presence of God converge in a place, they know you are in one of those magic moments where children receive the Holy Ghost. And children receive the Holy Ghost very quickly because they have a heart that's wide open and very innocent. And they just completely and innocently, without all the baggage that we adults brought into the mix, they just open up their hearts and they are instantly filled with the Holy Ghost. And they get it just like people got it in the Bible. They begin to speak in another language that they never learned in school. Now, if you wanted to reference that, we're not going to study that today, but if you wanted to reference that, I would cite Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. All of those are instances where people receive the Spirit of God and they speak in tongues. By the way, nobody in the Bible receives the Holy Ghost and it's just unknown to everybody around them. Even in Acts chapter 8, where it says they received it, but it doesn't say they spoke in tongues, there's somebody standing beside them that knows they got the Holy Ghost. The question is, how did they know? And there's always a biblical evidence. Now, this is the dominant theme of the book of Acts. When you get 300 years away into Catholicism, they kind of set all that on the side. And when you move 1,500 years on down the timeline to Protestantism, they've long since forgotten about the Holy Ghost. But it's in the Bible that you brought with you or that you have on your nightstand. And so study the Word of God and you'll understand what these little children are receiving today. They'll speak in a language but that they never learned in school. Now, when they get the Holy Ghost, they are transformed. They'll never jump in mud puddles again. That's not exactly right. But God's there working with them. And depending on their age, they're getting it before they really need it. And so what are their angels doing this morning? They have angels watching over. What are those angels doing this morning? The Bible says when one, if you talk about the lost things in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, Jesus says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when one comes or returns to the kingdom of God. And so what are those angels doing? You think we look a little strange shouting. I'm just telling you that is common practice in the heavenlies. Angels worship and shout and praise and magnify God. And so I imagine they're doing that this morning. Okay. Before we were so rudely interrupted. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Children have angels that are associated with them that are in the face of God continually. Now, to explain this to you, we'll talk about angels when we talk about the portal. But Acts chapter 12, there's a prayer meeting going on for the apostle Peter, who has been locked up in jail because Herod just days before had locked up James and cut off his head, and it pleased the people. So he locked up Peter too, and he was going to cut off Peter's head after Easter. That's what the Bible says. And so the church is praying, and while they're praying, an angel shows up in the prison. Peter is asleep, and he hits Peter in the side and wakes him up. And there's 16 soldiers, Roman soldiers, around him. And he has chains on his hands and on his feet. The chains fall off. The soldiers all fall asleep. The door opens on its own accord. And he leads him out of the prison where he has to pass through several other locked and secured doors. And then when he leads him into the city street past what the Bible calls the iron gate that led into the city, Peter in that moment realizes that he's not dreaming. Now when he goes to the door of the house of Rhoda, where the prayer meeting is going on, the prayer meeting for Peter's deliverance, Peter's knocking on the door. And Rhoda comes to the door and looks out the peephole, or opens it a crack and looks, and she sees that it's Peter, and she's so excited she slams the door in his face and runs back to tell everybody in the prayer meeting, Hey, Peter's at the door. And they're praying for Peter. They're praying for Peter to be released. And they don't even get up. They just say, oh, it can't be. Peter's in jail. Oh, God. Oh, God. She said, no, it's really him. And then one in the prayer meeting says, well, it might be his angel. You see, in this culture, it was common knowledge that people had angels that attended unto them. This is the biblical knowledge. I don't know where you got your knowledge or what your traditional values say, but these people expected that angels were attending the people of God. And in this case, the angel came in and there was a jailbreak. In Daniel chapter 10, where we've been studying for several weeks, and last Wednesday night, Daniel has an encounter with Gabriel, one of the archangels, and at the time that Gabriel is about to leave, he identifies something about another archangel by the name of Michael. Verse 21 in Daniel chapter 10, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Now, Michael had been introduced earlier in the story, and he had come down to help Gabriel fight against the prince of Persia. And we're gonna talk about this a little bit more and bring you up to speed, perhaps. But it identifies Michael as your prince, or an archangel that is assigned to watch not only over Daniel, but over Judah. And so we understand there are angels with specific assignments. Children have angels. And Peter had an angel. And the angels of God encamp round about those that are gods and that love God. Now, what we were doing Wednesday night, we were talking about portals. Everybody say portals. Because what happens here in Daniel chapter 10 is that Daniel is praying and fasting. And as he's praying and fasting, the man Gabriel, who is an angel, an archangel, comes down to see Daniel. And when he gets there, he says, I heard you. We heard you when you first began to pray 21 days ago. And I've come to bring you God's message for this time. But he said, when I got here, the prince of Persia rose up to fight against me. And I had to fight him for 21 days. But then Michael, another archangel, came to help me. And now I've broken loose and I've come here to bring you this word. And do you understand the dynamics there? There's a man on the ground. And in our studies Wednesday, I suggested to you that there are some activities that literally open up a portal between a world unseen and this natural or a visible, tangible world. There is, how many of you believe in God? How many of you believe in angels? Spirits. All right. Where do they live? Not in Hueytown. Not in Pinson, not in Fairfield. I'm not saying they're not there, but they don't live there. They live in heaven. The biblical term heaven can be the atmosphere around the earth, can be the cosmos out where the stars and the planets are, or, as is often the case, it is indicative of that place where angels and spirits dwell, notably God. Lives in heaven. But it's not a geographic location. You're used to time and space and direction and distance and all that. But it's altogether different in the realm of the spirit. Because Jesus stood before Nicodemus and said, while he was standing on the earth, he said, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. He identified himself as being in both places at the same time. The priest, the high priest of God, is a wonderful an enlightening individual for us to understand the business of portals. The high priest made his way in through the process of the tabernacle, and at a very, very important juncture, he stands at the veil. And at the veil is the altar of incense. And incense is an Old Testament type of prayer and praise. And while he's involved in prayer and praise, he is literally sending up smoke that billows into the Holy of Holies where God is, and out into the sanctuary in the outer court where men are. And through that activity, he brings both worlds together. It is highly suggestive of a portal or a place where there's commerce between the two worlds. When Jacob went to sleep at a place called Bethel, he woke up and he saw a ladder, a stairway ascending into heaven, and angels ascending and descending. Led Zeppelin wasn't anywhere around. There were angels and they were ascending and descending into heaven. Why were they there? there. They were there because the covenant man was there. So prayer and praise is a spot where you find a flow between the two worlds, or a portal. The covenant opens up the possibility of flow because the angels of God are there, and the covenant of God is there, and the stairway of God is there. In a picture of prayer in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, Revelation chapter 8, we understand that angels take your prayers and pour them out on the altar before God. Did you ever wonder how your prayer got into the presence of God? Well, maybe this is just fantastic imagery, but the Bible said the angel had a censer full of incense and prayer. He's mixing that Old Testament typology and the New Testament prayer, and he pours it out on the altar before God. And then he fills that altar, or that incense burner, up with fire off the altar of God and hurls it down into the earth. And there's voices and thunderings and earthquakes. There's an answer. It's a two-way street. And so all through the Word of God, we find these instructive passages that tell us a portal opens up when somebody really touches God in prayer. A portal opens up when somebody really touches God in praise. When Jehoshaphat and his kingdom sent the choir into battle, the Bible says that by the time the army got there, all of the enemy soldiers were dead because God set ambushments against them. And so praise opens up the portal. Why do y'all spend so much time clapping your hands and lifting up your voice? Well, one, we love God. Two, we know that it's biblical. But three, we know something begins to move from one world to another world. When we begin to praise Him, the Word of God says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Praise God. Now, you may do great work at the office, but God doesn't inhabit that. You may be an artist at your craft, but God doesn't inhabit that. But God inhabits the praises of His people. There are not very many venues in this old godless world where you can get a genuine flowing of God's presence and things from on high. But in prayer and in praise and by the construct of the covenant, there is a portal opened. And God begins to flow. And that's what's happening in that Sunday school building right now. A portal has opened, and the Spirit of God is coming down and indwelling these little children, and they're being filled up with what Jesus called a river of living water, or a well springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. You being a voyeur, you're going over to Sunday school, hanging out over there. You get a number. Three of them got the Holy Ghost. All right. Praise God. You're nosy. But it's exciting when children get the Holy Ghost. And so when things begin to move from the heavenly to the earthly, you could call it anything you want. I choose to call it emergence. Something is emerging. Daniel's angel emerged there. An angel is a spirit, but when they come into this dimension, they take on a tangible or physical form. And that angel emerged to talk to Daniel. He emerged in the heavenlies around Babylon to do war with the prince of Persia. And we talked about the fact that the creation came forth when God spoke. And as the Word of God came forth, the earth and the stars and the heavenly bodies and all living and inanimate things were brought forth by the Word of God. And so the Word of God emerges into this world and brings forth things that are God's purpose and God's desire. The incarnation itself, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the Word of God emerged as the Son of God about 2,000 years ago, and God's perfect purpose was performed in the world. When spiritual things emerge here, They can come as angels. It can be like a rushing mighty wind. It can be like the fire that lit the altar on the day Moses and Aaron first inaugurated the tabernacle, or the day that Elijah prayed a simple prayer and fire fell from heaven. Where did that come from? That came out of the Spirit of God. It came by the Word of God. But when it hit the atmosphere here and emerged into this natural world, it became something that shook the hearts of all of Israel and moved on the heart of all of the pagans, and everybody knew that God was the Lord of all and that Baal was just a dumb idol. Somebody say praise the Lord. It brings efficacy. It brings a powerful proof into the arena. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You need a moving of the Word of God in your life. You need an angelic visit. You need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your life. Well, praise God. Well, I need it. I don't know if you need it or not, but I need it. So this emerging or this portal activity is associated with prayer, prophecy, praise, covenant, the spoken word of God. Praise God. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, and this is a little interesting. Oh, Sophie's in the house. Sophie, have you been listening, sweetheart? Because I just completely missed your entrance. Okay. So we're going to dedicate you this morning, right? And you're old enough to understand. Most babies we dedicate are little bitty babies. But we had to send off and have you shipped in, made in China. So we dedicate you now. That's right. That's right. So, what I'm talking about, just to get you up to speed, because I don't know where you came in. We're talking about your angels. You have angels. They hang out in your bedroom. They walk with you. They came to Sunday school with you this morning. You have angels. And you are very precious to God. And these angels are reporting on Sophie to God every day. It's true. The Bible says so. Okay. So, when Daniel's angel comes in Daniel chapter 10, the prince of Persia rises up to fight against him. Now, that's another conversation altogether. The prince of Persia is a demonic spirit. And just as real as your angels are, the demonic spirits are just as real. There, I want to tell you going in that there are more that are with us than they that are with them. And it's never been a contest. God is in control of everything. But this is God's chosen construct. Daniel has his role. Gabriel has his role. The demonic prince of Persia has his role. You and I, we have our purpose and our role. And God has set us here in the mix for the purpose of our salvation, but also for the exercise of our free choice and will. And these demonic activities represent an alternative to God. You have a choice. Every day of your life, there's a tree in your garden, and there's a snake or a serpent, or if you would, the devil in your garden. And you get to make a choice. Today, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You get to make a choice. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. You understand? You see, from the very breaking of the day, you get a chance to stand up and say, I don't know who else is going to do this, but I know that for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I don't know who else is going to live for God, but this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. You may sulk, but I'm going to rejoice. You may be depressed, but I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be glad in it. That's an astounding thing, that gladness is not a function of circumstance or conditions. But gladness is a function of choice. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think Twan was saying this morning about Paul and Silas singing in the jail cell. That was a miserable place for them to be. But they were singing and praising and magnifying God. So if you're a mully grubber and a griper and a complainer and a gossip, you're doing that by choice. You don't know how miserable I am. Oh, I can appreciate how miserable you are, but this is the day the Lord has made. It has nothing to do with your personal individual misery. Get over it. Get up above it. Come on, you got a soul to save. There's a God to know. There's a life to live. There's potential to actualize. So the prince of Persia rises up and begins to war against Daniel's angel Gabriel. And this is very instructive for us because we understand here that there is resistance. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Everybody say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Turn to your neighbor and in the most menacing voice that you have, tell them there's something there is that wants to drag you down into hell. We're not here by ourselves. You're not in this all by yourself. If you felt some days that all of hell had gotten up and was warring against you, you may well be right. If you feel crushing pressure when you try to pray, if you feel resistance when you try to worship, if you feel like something's pressing back when you're trying to come to church and live for God and obey the word of God, well, don't feel like the lone stranger. Understand this. All of hell hates what God can do in your life, and all of hell has claimed this territory. Every city under the sun has been claimed by a demonic principality. Your city is no different, and he doesn't want to share anything here nor you with God. The most credible threat against the prince of darkness today is a wild-eyed, Bible-believing, tongue-talking, apostolic, born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's the most credible threat against everything that the enemy's trying to do today. Praise God. So the Bible says, it's not the people, it's not your boss, it's not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your mother-in-law. For the record, I had a wonderful mother-in-law, and all those mother-in-law jokes are wasted on me. But it's not the people. It's not the black people. If it weren't for these black people, it's not the white people. Oh, white rich men holding you down. Who am I impersonating? That's the president's pastor. Let me back up. You thought he didn't listen to those sermons, but are you seeing policy coming out of Washington lately? I think he listened a lot. Okay. I'm looking for a Mexican. Fed, close those borders. Oh, I got a Puerto Rican. That's just as good. Oh, there's a Mexican. If they close those borders, he's trying to take my job. He's the problem. He's the problem. And we lost the war with Puerto Rico a long time ago. Everybody say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not the people, it's the devil. Come on, you got to get with this. For God so loved the world, God loves everybody. God died for everybody. God paid the price for everybody. But there's a devil in hell, and a devil that's laid claim to this city and to your world. Now, these demonic spirits, they are fallen angels. Daniel chapter 10, 12 and 13, the prince of Persia comes to war against Gabriel. And that's pretty astounding because Gabriel's an archangel. That means the prince of Persia had equal power to Gabriel. And it took another archangel, Michael, to come down and break that thing loose so that Gabriel could move through the portal and do business with Daniel. There's a man on the ground doing the work of prayer. There's a God in the heaven that's responding and an angel that's on the way with a message. All of hell's fighting against it. And as he rises up, it takes a little bit of time, 21 days where this man's concerned. But there's more angels on our side than there are on their side. Ezekiel chapter 28 and beginning in verse 13. And this begins as an address to an earthly king. But it's amazing biblically how many earthly kings are equated with Satan himself. Which gives you to know and understand that these are prefigurings of what the Antichrist will be. He'll be a man with Satan indwelling him. But take a listen at this. Ezekiel chapter 28 and beginning in verse 13. Or you can read along with me if our astute media crew will help us. 28 and 13 in Ezekiel. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship. And so he talks about how interesting and how perfect the creation of this being is. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. A cherub is an angel. This is not talking about an earthly king. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. And thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This personality who he's addressing has walked in the very presence of God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. If we wanted to read in Isaiah, we would see where Satan said at one point, I will ascend above the sides of the Most High. I will be like the Most High God. He wanted to overthrow God. I'm not going to get anything done here at all. Okay, we had 6 children get the Holy Ghost this morning. 5 off the bus. And 1 was Sister Cynthia's granddaughter. Your grandbaby. Oh, go ahead. We've got time for a celebration. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Ah, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ah, how awesome, how glorious you are, O God, how worthy of all the praise. We magnify you, we lift you up, we worship you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Makes you want to go to Sunday school. 5 off the bus, Sister Tasha. Where's Brother Terry? 5 off the bus, Brother Terry. Praise God. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Those are little kids that would not be in the house of God today, except somebody got up early and got out here and maintenance these buses and went a long way out of their way and went and picked up a bunch of little kids and brought them to the house of God. Their destinies, you hear this now, their destinies are going to be altered because of that. Whatever the devil had planned for them, I'm telling you, this is why he hates portals. This is why he hates the door opening and the transfer from one world to another. Because these children will have their destiny changed today. Whatever the devil had planned for them, that's not the way it's going to work out. If they were heading for a life of sin, a life in prison, a life doing whatever without God, all that's been changed. God's going to redirect them. Well, praise God. I can see we're not going to make much progress today. Oh, I forgot to tell you, too. We won't be able to finish this tonight because we got an evangelist coming in the house. Get some flyers and pass them out. Brother Zach Wells from Vincent and Ever and other parts is going to be in the house tonight. Praise God. You say, I don't know him. Well, come get to meet him. We'll have church. I just got to... We were laughing about it in theology class. He has no idea what's about to happen to him. We have people come up to give the announcement and turn into raging preachers. And the reason is the portal's open. The flow is in the house. Spirit of God is moving. And you keep doing that and you draw it right out of him. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so this is a description of Satan who has desired to ascend above the Most High God. And verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Okay, now he's moving back into a description of Tyre. But for about five verses there, he's been talking about Lucifer. And Lucifer has his hands all up in the kingdom of Tyre. And that's why you get this this transfer and this language here. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as the lightning from heaven. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 12. Is this remotely interesting to you? Okay. This is what's fighting your prayer. This is what's fighting your family. This is what's fighting against your kids. This is what's fighting to frustrate the will and the purpose of God in your life. Chapter 12 in Revelation verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great dragon having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And the tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them into the earth. Now, this is language concerning Satan and his fall from heaven. And this is the passage where you get the understanding that he took a third of the angels with him when he fell. Verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. But there's only one devil. Which deceives the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth. And everyone say his angels. His angels were cast out with him. We have an understanding here in chapter 12 of Revelation that he took a third of the angels with him. Now, you may not be a whiz at math, but you understand if Satan took a third of the angels with him, there's two-thirds still around the throne of God serving you and ministering to the people of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 reveals to us that these angels, these fallen angels, are bound up by God, waiting for the day of judgment. Chapter 2 and verse 4. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. These are spiritual beings that are cast out. The Bible says that hell was designed for the devil and his angels. It never was designed for you. If you go to hell, when you open up your eyes in hell, you will know in a moment's time, in a nanosecond, you will know I was never designed to be in this place. It wasn't designed for you, but the scripture says hell has enlarged herself because of all the company that's coming. You were never designed to go into hell. Jude, the 13th verse says, they are wandering stars to whom it is reserve the blackness of darkness forever. In Job chapter 1 and in chapter 2, when God asked Satan, where have you been? Satan says, I've been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Peter in his epistle fills that in for us and says, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you've got an adversary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the word of God said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those that don't believe, so that the precious light of God can't come to them or shine into their understanding. Everybody say, the God of this world. Now, the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a little g, lowercase g. That means Satan is the God of this world, but he's not God. Make no mistake about it. So if you ever thought that God was in the present, running what's happening in this chaotic world, he has set this thing on automatic. And when Adam bowed down to Satan in the garden, everything that Adam had belongs now to Satan. And Adam had dominion over the world. So now Satan has dominion over the world, except for those lunatics that have come under the covering of the word of God and an experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody say praise God. So you're serving somebody. If you're not serving the God of heaven, then you're serving the God of hell, but you're serving somebody. Well, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to serve God right now. Well, you are. You're serving God right now, but it's not the true and living God. It's the God of hell. And there is a turf battle going on. There's a turf battle going on because wherever you are, wherever Sophie is, she's a threat against everything that he's trying to do. You know why abortion is so popular with the godless? Because those little fresh, innocent, sweet babies are a statement of the kingdom of God. And they're a threat against everything that hell wants to do here. When Moses is about to be born, they killed all the baby boys. When Jesus is about to be born, they killed all the baby boys. Guess what? Guess who's coming right now? Guess who's about to come? Jesus Christ is about to come to this earth again. And guess what they're doing again? They want to kill all the babies. But let me tell you something. There's babies that are in a little basket called the sovereignty of God. And they won't be able to touch them. And they have angels that traverse from one world to another. Well, praise God. I don't know how far we're going to get, and I don't know where to get off. And I'm trying to do this as smoothly as we can here without ruining your lunch. The only thing Sophie will remember about her baby dedication is that we didn't get to eat lunch that day. He just went on and on. So we don't want that to happen. Praise God. So Ephesians 6 and 12 again. We were there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But what do we wrestle against? Principalities. Powers. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That language corresponds to the language of civil or civic governments. Just like you have a city government and a county government and a regional authority and you have federal government, that's exactly how this is lined up in a hierarchical relationship in the spirit. That's why when Gabriel comes down, he meets not just some big ugly demon, but he meets the prince of Persia. And then in that same 10th chapter, he tells Daniel, now Daniel, when I'm done here and I'm leaving, he said, in a little bit, the prince of Grecia is coming. You know why? Because Greece is about to overrun Persia. Alexander is about to conquer Xerxes and all of the kingdom of the Persians. And there's another prince that's about to ascend into power. A demonic prince from Greece that's about to rule the whole Middle East. And so demonic princes are given territories and areas. And there is a turf war going on. That belongs to them. When you sit there with that goofy smile on your mouth, when you were living for the devil and you weren't serving God, your house and everybody in it belonged to him. And there was no angels ascending and descending. And there was no prayer going up where the portal was open. And he's got to send down goons to work day and night, overtime. And the overtime's killing him. And he's got to do all that because you made a decision to live for God. And you made a decision to continually read this book. And you keep on going to Bible studies. And you keep on praying. And now everybody in the house has the Holy Ghost. And now there's these angels ascending and descending in your house. Now your neighborhood's not safe anymore. This is a turf war. This is a turf war. It's going on at Underwood Automotive. It's going on at the Glass Doctor. It's going on at your house, and it's going on in my house. When I get out in the highways of this city, it doesn't belong to him anymore. Well, praise God. Because he's made you an ambassador for Christ. Have you ever been to an embassy? If you would visit an embassy in Nairobi or an embassy in Moscow, when you go through those gates and you walk by those hard young men with the automatic weapons at arms, you step over into the United States of America, because where that embassy is U.S. soil. We fly the flag. It belongs to us. Paul says you are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? That means that where I am, this no longer belongs to the little god of this world. This no longer belongs to the demon. Where I am, this I stake this territory for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If I'm mobile, it is mobile with me. Where I live, it is there. Where we worship, it is there. You think he's not upset about that and angry about that and fit to be tied? He hates every good thing God's doing in you. And he wars. You see him here in Daniel 10? He wars against prayer. And he wars against Israel. And if we had the time, we would go into Daniel 7 and 21. He made war with the saints. Revelation 13 and 7. He made war with the saints. Now, this is interesting. Because where does he war against the saints? Where does he make war against the people of God? He is a spirit. See, he's not fighting you here. He's not fighting you with natural means. He's not shooting at you and throwing bombs at you. But every time you kneel down to pray, he shows up to frustrate your prayer. When your angel begins to, when Sophie's angel begins to come down and bring the blessing or take the report back to God, he's got to fight his way through all the hubbub of the principalities and powers and spiritual rulers of this city. Now you think, well, Brother Sutton, you're getting spooky spiritual here now. That's why it's so important that she has a dad and a mom that's providing prayer cover. That's why it's so, because she's got angels. But we can see in this story, they can't just freely traverse. They've got to fight through all of that. Daniel is an integral part to the movement of that chapter. There's a God in heaven. There's an angel that's coming. But there's a man on the ground that's praying. I'm going to quit. And we'll get back on the bus here at some other point. But she doesn't know yet, nor does she care about any of this. She's just happy to be here. And she has angels assigned to her. And so do the little children down in every rough neighborhood in this city. And so do the little children in every hellhole on earth. But I'm going to tell you this. Those angels can't come and go at liberty. We see in the 10th chapter of Daniel, there was a man that opened up the portal and created the flow. The reason those children got the Holy Ghost this morning, there are children all over Birmingham that have angels, but they're not getting the Holy Ghost this morning. Mom and dad are sleeping off a drunk in the back room. Somebody's off on a drug binge. Somebody didn't even come home and they're trying to find a little something, a little cold oatmeal to eat in the kitchen. And they're not getting the Holy Ghost this morning. And the angel's not bringing down ambrosia. I want to suggest to you today, in a baby dedication service that those, the difference between those little children that are suffering without God and not receiving the blessings of God in their life, the difference is a man or a woman of God who will brace the powers of hell and stand in the midst of this godless world and begin to pray a prayer of faith, a worship with all of their heart, and open up that portal so that her angels can get in to where she is. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. Well, praise God. So we're going to, come on, bring the family. We're going to dedicate. By the way, just like those little children got the Holy Ghost this morning, you can too. And what I would just tell you right here, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and you've never received the Holy Ghost, if you'll come stand right here, we will pray with you today and God will give you the Holy Ghost. We're going to go ahead and do this, but you're not going to interrupt us at all, because primary, we'll interrupt anything we're doing for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. If you would like to have power, Jesus said greater, or the apostle said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you would like to have greater power to stand against the forces of hell, you come get the Holy Ghost and you'll walk out of this building a different person today. I know it's scary coming up here all by yourself. Brother Kedrick will come stand with you. Praise God. Well, nobody's going to come interrupt us. On your baby dedication service, Sophie, we had 6 kids receive the Holy Ghost. It was a day of an outpouring. She's concerned about this. Okay. I have a little pink Bible for you, Sophie. She's travailing. And it has your name on it. Now, when we dedicate babies, we're really dedicating parents. Because babies don't get it. And won't for quite a while. And by the time they're old enough to get it, if you hadn't already planted it in her, her probabilities are falling like a lead pipe. Now's the optimum moment. Now's the perfect time to plant it in her, cause her to love it, to exemplify it, to model it. This is such a wonderful moment, because there are kids all over the city that will never know an intact home. There's kids all over the city that will never know what it's like to go to Sunday school or to hear mom and dad pray. Kids all over this town. And I don't feel guilty about what we have here. I feel blessed and energized and excited about that. So you're going to teach her about the Word of God. And you're going to exemplify it. And you're going to be faithful to it. You're never going to look back. These are conditions here. Because I'm not going to give you the Bible if you're going to... I'm not going to do this with you unless you commit to this. Right? You're going to live for God. She's going to have a godly example. You're not going to fall in love with Hollywood magazines and websites. What does your mom do? She's on the computer all day long, finding out about Hollywood. Well, that can't be you. She's going to be a godly. So you're going to teach her about this, and you're going to live a godly life. And you're not going to run away and join the circus or follow after Hollywood or anything like that. Okay. All right. Well, Brother Bird, I'm going to give this to you. You're the Levite in the house. Now, in light of what we've dealt with tonight, today, and Wednesday, you've got to open up the portal. There's got to be a flow in your home and in your life. You're committed to do that? By prayer, by worship, by the Word of God. All right. So we've got aunts and uncles and grandmother, surrogate grandparents and surrogate grandparents. and a host of cousins here. Let's extend our hands toward them. Church, let's stand together. Let's pray for Sophie today and pray for Brother Bert and Sister Tina. The hand of God upon them. Mighty God, look at this home. Look on this family. I pray you'd bless Sophie, Brother Bert, Sister Tina, these siblings, God, this whole family. Lay your hand upon it. Strengthen them and bless them and lay your hand upon them for goodness. Let the word of God come forth in this place. Let the angel of God stand with her every day of her life, God. Cause her to be mighty in the kingdom. I pray for Brother Bert that you would give him, God, everything he needs to be the Levite of his home and his family. Give him, mighty God, strength of character and understanding and wisdom. Pray that you'd bless Sister Tina, God. Give her, God, everything she needs to be a godly mother and to be an example to this baby. I pray, God, bless this home by your word and by the anointing of your spirit. I pray you do it in the name above every name. And everybody said in Jesus' name, let's give God some praise. Let's give God some worship. We magnify you, Lord. We praise your name. We lift you up. Glory to God. Before we leave, because I haven't had you all come down around the altar, take somebody's hand or lay your hand on somebody right now. And would you pray for one another before we go? Let the anointing of God flow through this house right now. Pray down blessing. Pray down goodness. Pray anointing. In the name above every name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name above every name. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. Choir practice 5:15 and apostolic service at 6:30. Let's meet together for 6 and take some flyers on the way out and invite some folks to church. We're going to have revival in the house tonight. Come by and give Sister Sophie the right hand of Christian fellowship. Oh, they found another one. 7 got the Holy Ghost this morning in Sunday school.